Why do we need more people involved in the work of God? Matthew chapter 9, let's read verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's bow for prayer. O God, please teach us from your word this morning. Help us to see the need before us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We need more people to be involved in the work of God on every level, supporting and involved in the local church, and also supporting and involved through the missions program of any New Testament church. Our Lord Jesus was very much aware of this great need. He, from first-hand experience, gives us his summary of the great need and the need for more laborers. The Bible teaches us here in verse number 35 that he has gone from city to city, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He has healed many along the way. And then in verse number 36, out of a heart of compassion, he's mindful of the multitude. He saw the multitudes, the Bible teaches us in verse number 36. They fainted and were scattered abroad. He was mindful of many individuals in need of hope, fainting, scattered, in need of direction. And then in verse number 37, he went on to say, the need is great. The need is great. The harvest truly is plenteous. The need is great, and there is a lot of work to do. But there are not enough laborers. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he concludes in verse number 38. He calls for earnest prayer that God will raise up more laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Why we need more laborers. Now, in leading up to this passage of scripture that we've just read, you will note a sequence of events that take place. And in reading verses 36 to 38, we have a summary, a summary of the great need and the need for more laborers. And as we read there in verse number 36, that the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitude, we are reminded and mindful of the fact that the Lord Jesus understood the great need. He had first-hand experience And he was not sharing something that was just a theory or just an observation, but something that he had beyond, he sees, he has experienced, because he has been from city to city, as the Bible teaches us in verse number 35. He went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues. Plural, plural, plural. So he speaks from first-hand experience. And he draws a summary. There are a multitude of people that are living without hope, that need direction, need leadership. They are sheep without a shepherd. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we have within verses 36 to 38 a summary of what he has seen, what he has experienced. Now leading up to verse number 35, we'll note from verse 18 a number of events that take place that give us greater reason or give us a greater urgency for more laborers and for people to be involved in the work of God. Why we need more laborers. Note there back in verse number 19 to verse number 22. Not only has the Lord Jesus spelled it out from verses 36 to 38 as a testimony of ministering in villages and cities and preaching in many synagogues, but leading up to verse number 35, there is a sequence of events that take place that was a challenge to me a number of weeks ago as I considered the great need before us. And we note here in verses 19 to 22, please, of Matthew chapter 9, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So we see within these verses a woman that had a rare blood condition. Now in the biblical setting, to have such, you were considered unclean. She was not a popular individual. She would have been likened to a leper, unclean. And she had this condition for some 12 years, the Bible teaches us. And this woman that had this rare blood condition pursues the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in her heart that he has the power to heal. And the Lord Jesus recognized that faith. Her faith is honored, and the Bible teaches us in verse 22 that she is healed. And I'd like for us to note concerning the great need before us, church family. There is a need for more laborers because there are people just like this woman that are seeking. That are seeking. There are those that are genuinely searching for truth today. Not only here in Sydney, Australia, but around the world. There are people that are seeking truth. Seeking hope, forgiveness, wanting lasting peace, joy, happiness, wanting a sense of purpose. And as we involve ourselves in the work of God as laborers, God will lead us to these individuals. People just like this woman with this blood issue, seeking, wanting a remedy, seeking. I note there in John chapter 12, when a group of Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus. Will you point us to Jesus Christ?" And my friend, may I submit to you that within your workplace, within your neighborhood, within your university, your school, your TAFE, shopping center, amongst family, there are people just like this woman that are seeking. You might not be aware of it at the moment, but they are seeking. This is why we need laborers, because there are people that are seeking. And the Lord Jesus teaches us, those that seek shall find. That's God's promise. My friend, there are seekers all around us. That's why we need to be involved. That's why you need to be inviting people along to the Easter services. Because there are people seeking. Okay, they might not be saying it verbally to you and I, but they are seeking. Man has within his being a God-shaped vacuum. And only God can meet that need. And you could very well be the link to God to point them to the Savior. There are people that are seeking. Not everybody out there is an antagonistic agnostic. Thank God for that. There's a lot of them, but it's not everybody. There are people genuinely seeking. 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 This woman said, "If I could just touch his garment, I believe I'll be healed." There are people seeking. That's why we need more laborers. That's why you need to be involved in getting the gospel out. That's why you need to take advantage of the opportunity before you. That in just under 2 weeks' time will be Easter weekend. And there will be people that will attend a church. And you know as well as I do, because they attend a church does not necessarily mean that they will hear the gospel. But if you will get in first and invite them to your church, you can be assured that they'll hear the gospel. Amen? There are people seeking. We need more laborers. Because people are seeking. Be mindful of that. And also we need more laborers because there are a lot of scoffers out there. Scoffers. Note there in verse 18 and verse 19 of this chapter, it reads that while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And then in verse 19 it reads, "And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Now go down to verse number 23 and 24, it reads, "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels, the musicians, and the people making a noise, the hired mourners, he said unto them, 'Give place, or get out of my way.'" In plain Aussie English, "Get out of my way," Jesus said. These people carrying on around the dead corpse of Jairus' daughter. "Get out of my way." And then Jesus said, For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Then note the response at the end of verse 24. And they laughed him to scorn. The context of this is that a ruler by the name of Jairus, he is mentioned in the same account in the Gospel of Mark and Luke. He could well have been a ruler of the synagogue there in Capernaum, because according to chapter 9, verse 1, that Jesus Christ is in his own city, Capernaum. So this ruler by the name of Jairus had a daughter who was 12 years of age, and his dear little precious one has just died. And he begs the Lord Jesus to come to his home and heal her. Upon arriving at the home of Jairus, our Lord said to the crowd within the home, made up of musicians and hired mourners. That's what you did in those days. You would hire mourners to mourn over your dead one. And he said to this group of musicians and mourners to just step aside, for this young lady is not dead, she's only asleep. And the Bible teaches us that our Lord Jesus was mocked. They mocked him. As it reads in verse 24, they laughed him to scorn. But note then verse 25, but when the people were put forth, they finally got out of the way. The Lord Jesus went in to where this young girl was and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Praise God. The good Lord healed Jairus' daughter. God performs a miracle. And the point I want to stress for the sake of time this morning is that the Lord Jesus made the bold statement that she's not dead, she's just asleep. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. Beyond laughter, they scorned, made fun of him. They mocked our Lord Jesus. They ridiculed his words. And my friend, this morning, is this not what we see in our day? Scoffers. People mocking and scoffing the things of God. And the Bible teaches us in Psalm 1:1, we are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. This is what they did to the Lord Jesus as he was crucified. They scoffed and mocked him. If you are really the Son of God, come down from there. And my friend, as we draw closer towards our Lord's return, more people, will mock and scoff spiritual truth. They mocked and scoffed the Lord Jesus and his ability to raise this young girl from the dead. They laughed them to scorn. And as we draw closer towards our Lord's return, we see the mocking and scoffing of Christianity more so. Openly, without shame, laughing, scoffing. The other month, as I was trying to witness to an individual, and he asked me a question concerning prayer, and when I gave the answer, he just laughed and he began to scoff. That's people today. That's people today. That's why we need more laborers. That's why you and I as Bible-believing Christians need to get off our blessed assurance and serve God. And share the gospel. Because there are seekers out there. There are scoffers out there. There are people that will scoff at the thought that God created the world in 6 literal days. There are scoffers out there that scoff the fact that there was a universal flood. And they scoff the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And they scoff the fact of the literal interpretation of the book of Revelation. They scoff the fact that we believe that once saved, always saved. There's scoff. Offers out there. And you and I need to be busy sharing truth. Truth will prevail. We just need to let it loose and not keep it to ourselves. Because there are people out there searching. And there are scoffers out there. And meanwhile, back of the ranch, there's this little Independent Baptist Church Christian. Not saying boo. About the fact that there is a God. And judgment is coming. Oh, it's coming. It's coming, I'm telling you. It's coming. We have a new state premier. Not much is going to change. Don't get too excited. Oh, but Pastor, he's a Catholic. Well, so is the last bloke. You can be a Catholic and live like the devil. That's Roman Catholicism. Don't get too excited about that. But on the way out, may I remind you to look at the little chart on the notice board? And note what this new premier represents. What his political party represents. That are contrary to biblical Christianity. Scoffers. They laughed our Lord to scorn. But also note there in this passage of scriptures we read on. Note then verse 27. As our Lord traveled on, he was followed by 2 blind men. Verses 27 to 29. And when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Yes, we believe that you have the power to heal us. Verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." In verses 30 to 31 it reads, "And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Our Lord was followed by 2 blind men. They followed him into a home. They couldn't see him physically, but they followed to the best of their ability. They cried out for mercy, and God in his graciousness restores their sight. And Jesus said, "Don't you tell anybody." But they couldn't help themselves. They told everybody what had happened. They were blind physically. And God gave them sight. And may I submit to you that people are blind spiritually in need of spiritual sight. People are sightless in a spiritual sense. People are trying to follow Christ through religious deeds today. And the God of this world is blinding people concerning the truth. That we are saved by faith and not by works. Religion is blinding people. Is blinding people, pardon me, from the truth of the gospel. The God of this world is blinding people concerning the simplicity of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There are people that are sightless spiritually. They are genuinely seeking Jesus Christ. They are wanting spiritual sight, so to speak. But they are blind. They have been blinded by materialism. They have been blinded by religion. The Lord Jesus said, the blind leading the blind, they will both fall into the pit. That pit is hellfire. The ultimate eternal destiny for those that say no to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Jesus Christ also made reference to a broad road that leads to destruction. And I would submit to you, my friend, that most on this road, this broad road, are blinded people, blinded by religion. Hell will be full of religious people. I have no doubt in my mind that will make up the greatest quota of people in hell will not be agnostics, will not be atheists. It will be religious people. Religious people. People that are sightless. And beloved, we need to get involved in the work of God because there are people that are in need of sight. See, the two men followed the Lord, though they couldn't see him physically. They listened, they did all that they could to follow him, and they managed to arrive at the same place where Jesus was. And that's religious people today. They're blind, but they're trying to follow. Oh, beloved, we need workers. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call unless they believe? How can they believe upon one that they have not heard? And how will they possibly hear without a preacher that understands I've been sent to give a message? We need more laborers. The harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. There are people seeking. There are scoffers. There are those that are sightless. And also need to be mindful of satanic activity. Note then verses 32 and 33. And as they went out, they brought him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. We see here that a demon-possessed man was brought to our Lord as he departed out of his former house. And the Bible tells us that this man was not only possessed, he couldn't speak, he was dumb, he was speechless. And when our Lord Jesus delivered this man from demonic possession, the man spoke. And people were amazed that he could actually hear this man speaking. They'd never heard him speak before. They're amazed. So note the connection between demonic activity and silence. There's a connection. The devil's works. The devil's work is to silence. God's work is to proclaim. The devil's delighted if you say nothing about Christ this Easter. Oh, he's absolutely delighted. The devil's silence. He is the author of silencing the work of God. But God's work is to proclaim, to declare the gospel. And beloved, this morning, today, there is much talk about the need for a voice. We need a voice. Yet biblical Christianity is being muted in every way. This is satanic activity. Satan works at silencing the proclamation of the gospel. This is satanic activity. To hold back the declaration of biblical Christianity. And in its place we have minority voices shouting their agenda, which are in clear opposition to biblical Christianity. The devil is real. The devil is active. The devil is relentless. The devil is determined. The devil is destructive. He's a thief. He's subtle. He's strategic in all of his attacks. And he is on the march to silence you and I as Bible-believing Christians. And he's doing a good job at it. But you and I need to raise the volume for God's glory and speak up for God's glory. The devil's on the march. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this individual that was possessed by a devil could not speak. But when God delivered him, he spoke. There's something in that. The need for more laborers because of satanic activity. The numbing down, the muting of biblical Christianity. And this is what we have today. I don't have to convince you of that fact. You know it. Well, what are you doing about it? You say, well, Pastor, what can I do about it? Preach the gospel. That's what you know about it. Pray. Let's win people from within. Change them for God's glory through the gospel. Satanic activity. And note then verse number 34, and I'll close with this. Look at verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out the devils through the prince of the devils. The need for laborers is great because there are people that are genuinely seeking. The need for laborers is great because there are scoffers, there are those that are sightless. They're trying to follow the Lord Jesus, but they have no sight spiritually. And then we have satanic activity. The muting of biblical Christianity. And last but not least, here in verse number 34, there is a great need for laborers because there are not only scoffers, there are slanderers. Slanderers. We have people that are laughing at the things of God. You're a pastor. I've had people laugh in my face. What do you do for a job? I'm a pastor. I just laugh. Now, what do you do for a job? I'm a pastor. Do you work? Or you just turn up on Sunday? Pretty good job. Laugh and scoff. But yet we have also slanderers. Note here in verse number 34, when the Pharisees saw what was done to this former demon-possessed man, they twisted it. And they put their slant on what has just happened. And instead of prescribing this miracle, as a work of God, they said, Jesus Christ, this Jesus, performs this miracle in the power of the devil. They blaspheme God. This is outright blasphemy. They said, yes, this Jesus did deliver that man from those demons, but that was in the power of the devil. That's blasphemy. That's slander. They would not accept the proof of his divinity. Instead, they said, this man has access to demonic powers. Calling good evil and evil good. This is what this is. And my friend, this is what we see today. The good and blessings of biblical Christianity. Scoffed at and slandered. Erased. Ignored. Falsely identified. Questioned. This is why we need more laborers. Slanderers. You've heard them. Slanderers. Oh yes, they said of Jesus, he did deliver that man from those demons, but it was in the power of the devil. Not by the power of God. Let me ask you this morning, what is wrong with people standing up and openly sharing what they believe? If it's okay for those that believe in euthanasia and abortion to speak up, what is wrong with people speaking up for traditional values concerning the home? That marriage is between one man and one woman. And there are roles within the traditional family. What is wrong with speaking up for morality? For purity of life? No, you live with your spouse on the basis of marriage. And de facto relationships are immoral before God. What is wrong with that? Why can't we just say it? And what is wrong with simply speaking up and saying, I believe the Bible. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And you are a sinner. And there is a hell. But God loves you and wants you to have life eternal in Jesus Christ. What is wrong with that? The world calls it conversion therapy. My Bible teaches me that you must be born again if you want to enter the kingdom of God. To try and lead people to Christ and to try to encourage people to live in accordance to the Bible is being scoffed and slandered today. And we have people in high places wanting to outlaw it. As Bible-believing, Bible-living Christians, we need to flesh out our faith. And yet we have people today that are slandering, scoffing Bible Christianity. And it's these events, these five events that lead up until verse 35,
And then he made the statement in verse 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So as our Lord looked over the multitude, he was moved with compassion as he saw clearly people are in need of hope. People are in need of direction. But who will bear that hope? Who will be a bearer of that hope? Who will provide direction in pointing these individuals to Jesus Christ? Because there are seekers out there. Yes, there are scoffers. There are those that are without sight, and rest assured there is satanic activity, and there are slanderers. And beloved, as we draw to a close our missions month, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Let's get involved in serving the Lord. Let's get involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Because you might be surprised. There might be one in your neighborhood that is genuinely seeking truth. And yes, there are the scoffers, there are the those that slander. But they need to be confronted with the truth of the gospel. And there are many people that are sightless spiritually. They are trying to follow Christ. To what end? And yet we are mindful there is satanic activity at work all around us. And what are you doing about it? Well, Pastor, what can I do? Get involved. Serve the Lord. Start where you are at. Be a witness right where you are right now. Don't be ashamed of Christ. When people ask you on the weekend, what did you do on the weekend? I went to church. Would you like to come? Easter's coming up. Wait a moment, I've got an invitation in my bag. I'll get that to you before the end of the day. You know as well as I do that people will ask you on the Monday, how was your weekend? You have a golden opportunity to say, oh, I had a wonderful weekend. I went to church. And go from there. May God help us. Begin by serving the Lord right where you're at. And let's be willing to do our part to help those that are willing to go in the regions beyond. Amen? That's what missions is all about. Let's bow for prayer.